Okay, well, good morning. Thank you for being here. I'm always so impressed at how many women come to this Yarchei Kala every year, and I so appreciate that you came in. I was actually at Or Torah last month for the Tikkun Leil Shavuot, and while I was in Rabbi Linzer's shiur, he kind of mentioned in passing this mitzvah of Lo Tasur. And he had said, you know, in his footnote, he said that it would be a great shiur on its own. And I obviously agreed, because here we are. So Tamar Sheamus emailed me and she asked me for my topic. So I chose the title that you saw before coming here, right? Lo Tasur, our obligation to take direction and guidance from our rabbis. I have to check the title myself, right? But I thought, okay, it sounds like a good thing to talk about. I knew which primary sources I wanted to use, and I was ready to get started, right? So that was Tuesday. That Friday, so you're talking really 3 days later, I had a meeting at school with Rabbi Matenki, and we got into a discussion, because I can't just leave my meetings as work meetings, we got into a discussion about halakha in general, and I began debating some specifics with him. And considering the topic that we're going to start learning, I will add a disclaimer here that Rabbi Matenki is my posek halacha, and I engage in debate in order to learn from him, but ultimately I do abide by his decision, and he knows that, and he knows that he has the final say. So I was challenging a specific point that he was making, and I quoted the pasuk upon which the halacha itself was based. And because it involved the halachot of Nida, because who doesn't talk to their bosses all the time about Nida? But I said to him, I said, well, so then when the person is going to the mikvah, right? If the person is going to the mikvah, then that shouldn't be a problem anyway. And Rabbi Matenki has this ability to just say it all in a nutshell so clearly. His response was so immediate. And he really, like I said, he got to the heart of it. He said, sometimes, even if you eliminate the de'oraita, you still have the connected isurim derabanan. And the isurim derabanan are guarded even more carefully than the de'oraitas by the Torah. Because the Torah doesn't want us to dismiss the words of our rabbis. So in other words, we have to remember that it's a mitzvah de'oraita to follow the mitzvot de'rabanan, right? And so I thought it was amazing that I had chosen this topic on Tuesday, and here I was on Friday, and Rabbi Matenki gave it to me in about 3 minutes. And all right, let's take a look at it inside. Source one on your sheet comes from Sefer Dvarim Parshat Shoftim, and it describes our mitzvah to appoint judges. And it reads as follows. It says, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecha b'chol she'arecha. You should put for yourselves judges and officers in all of your gates, asher Hashem Elokecha noten lecha lishvatecha, in all of the tribes which Hashem has given to you, v'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. And they will judge the nation, they will judge the people properly. Right? So what exactly are shoftim, right? Shoftim, we know, translates literally into judges. But if we look at source 2, Rashi defines for us that it's not just judges like sitting in a court. He says that they are dayanim, they are judges, but haposkim et hadin. They are members of our beit din, they are our poskim, they are the determiners of halacha. They tell us the correct way to follow halacha. And when there is a dispute, then they act as judges, because they are those that know halacha best. And in source 3, the Ibn Ezra actually tells us that although we have an obligation to go 3 times a year to Yerushalayim, which is the place where we have immediate access to Kohanim and Leviim, and which is, of course, the seat of the Sanhedrin Hagdola, right, the Supreme Court, and we're going to get into that soon, we still have an obligation to establish Batei Din, to establish knowledgeable arbiters of Jewish law in every city who are accessible to us. And as the second half of the Pasuk, in Pasuk Yudchet, tells us back in Source 1, it is the obligation of these Shoftim to judge properly. properly, right? V'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. So psukim and continue in source one with instructions for the shofet, psukim yud tet and chaf. The shofet is told, lo tatem mishpat, you will not corrupt judgment. Lo takir panim, you should not show favoritism. V'lo tikach shochad, and you will not take bribes, right? Interesting, another definition of shochad is also just gifts, right? That even if you're not involved in a court case itself with a person, if somebody is in the position of shofet, he should be careful not to accept gifts from anyone in case at some point they show up in his courtroom, right? Ki ha-shochad ya'aver einei chachamim, because bribery blinds the eyes of those who are wise, v'yisalef divrei tzadikim, and it corrupts the words of those who are otherwise righteous. Chaf tzedek tzedek tirdof. You should pursue absolute justice. Lema antichia, in order that you will live. Yerasha ta'aretz Hashem alokecha noten lach, and you will inherit the land that Hashem your God is giving to you. So the Or HaChaim points out something very interesting in the wording of these psukim. He says that in the first pasuk, in pasuk yud chet, it speaks about the shoftim in third person. They should judge the nation properly. But in psukim yud tet and chaf, it changes to second person. You should not do these things. So the Or HaChaim wants to know why there is this shift. And if you look in source 4, you see that the Or HaChaim teaches that lo yicheid ha'azara l'shoftim. This warning is not limited only to the shoftim. Rather, v'tziva l'nochach. It is commanded in general to everyone present. If you notice in source 1, there's actually not just a shift between Pasuk Yud Chet and Pasuk Yud Tet, there's actually a shift between second and third person within Pasuk Yud Chet itself. Because the Pasuk begins, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha. The people are actually given the command to appoint the judges. V'shaftu et ha'am mishpat tzedek. And it is then the obligation of the judges to properly determine the halacha. So based on this, the Or HaChaim continues back in source 4. And he says that the commands not to corrupt judgment in Psukim Yud Tet and Chaf apply both to the judges and to those who appoint them. He says, Leha'ir, it teaches us, Ki klalut Yisrael yashnam gam kein be'elu azharot, that B'nai Yisrael in general are also included in these warnings. If they don't appoint the shoftim in the proper way, if we don't choose our poskim in the proper way, then heim hamatim mishpat. Then the people, not the judges, are the ones who pervert the judgment. Heim ha'ovrim al kol ha'amorin. It's the people who are transgressing, who are violating all of the things that are told in the psukim. And the Kli Yakar concurs, he gives a further explanation. And on your source sheets, the Kli Yakar is broken into sources 5 and 6. So it's two parts. In source 5, he says, Be'ur ha'inyan hu, right? The way we understand this is, She pasuk zeh, this pasuk telling us not to corrupt judgment, it's tzivui limi sheyesh sipek biado limnot dayanim. It's a command to the person who has the ability to appoint the judges. And this is one of my favorite lines. Sheyima ne'otam al menat sheyu dayanim. You should appoint judges so that they can be judges. V'lo yachnifu afilu lazehem ima ne'otam. And he won't show favoritism even to the person who appoints him. Right? If you are appointing a posek, if you are choosing a rav, you're choosing somebody who is going to treat you like they treat everybody else. V'zeu shekatuv titein lecha. This is why the pasuk says that you should appoint shoftim and shotrim lecha, for yourself, al atzmecha, upon yourself. V'nimshach bazeh bekal v'chomer, and you draw out a kal v'chomer from this, that sheyishpatu ad kol ha'am mishpat tzedek, that these judges will judge the nation properly. Ki im lo yachnifu gam lecha, because if they don't show favoritism to you, kal v'chomer l'chol ha'am, then how much more so will they not show favoritism toward anyone else? Lo kamin hagdorenu. This is not like the way we act in our times. Shekol mi asher sipek biado limnot dayanim borer lo krovo miyoda'o. That anyone who has the ability to appoint a judge chooses his relatives or the person he knows, or he chooses his friends. right? Because when he does that, domek ilu hitz naimo beferush al menat sheyach haniflo. V'chein osim, right? When you choose your friend to be the judge, when you put your friend in a position of authority, it's as if you're kind of, you have this kind of implicit agreement that when I need you, you're going to take care of me. He says, and that's what people do. V'nim shach mizah. And the result of this is shagam kol ha'am lo yishaftu b'tzedek. The result of this is that nobody gets a fair shake. Nobody is judged properly. Ki ha'dayan tzarich lahashvot kol ha'dinin shelo yomru lo etmol pasakta kach v'kach likrovcha only oli miyoadecha olaven ircha. Right, the judge has to be consistent in his verdict, so that nobody can say, well, yesterday you gave this verdict for your relative, you gave this verdict for your friend, you gave this verdict for the person who lives in your neighborhood. So why are you changing it now? So when we choose poskim, they have to be real poskim. We certainly have to be able to rely on their knowledge of halacha and their ability to interpret it. But we also have to be able to rely on their integrity in halacha, that they won't bend their principles no matter who is coming to them for a psak. And the Kli Yakar continues along these lines in source 6 when he describes the requirements for the shoftim themselves. He first quotes the Gemara in Bava Metzia Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Bet, in which Rava is quoting Reish Lakish, right? We're quoting people who are quoting people. But Reish Lakish says, Kishot atzmecha v'achar kach kishot acherim. This is really based on a pasuk in Tzfanya, Hit Koshishu v'kashu. But it literally means, adorn yourself first, and only then can you adorn others. So in the context of the Gemara, in this context of the Kli Yakar, it means you have to be a just person yourself before you can demand justice of others. A shofet, a posek, cannot be a hypocrite. He cannot tell people to do one thing while allowing those close to him to do something else. And it says in the Gemara Bava Batra, Daf Nun Chet Amud Bet, which you see at the very end of Source 6, it's Ki Chol Dayana Demafkin Mine Mamona Bedina Lav Dayana Hu. Any judge who is sued in court and against whom judgment is given is no true judge, right? Anyone who's a hypocrite, anyone who's saying one thing and doing another, is not anyone who you can trust in your as your posek, as the person who teaches you halacha. Okay, so we established poskim have to be trustworthy, they have to be non-hypocritical, they have to be Torah scholars. So now we have to look at our obligation to really listen to them, right? And again, we choose, we appoint our poskim, right? We choose those who determine halacha for us. In source 7, which is really less than a parak after the command to appoint our shoftim and shotrim, we read that when they're unable to reach a consensus on their own, matters should be brought to Yerushalayim, where the Kohanim and the Sanhedrin Gedolah might be consulted. So we're starting in Pasuk Chet. Ki pale mimcha davar lemishpat. When a matter of judgment is too difficult for you, and then the psukim lists different types of court cases where this might actually come up, then v'kamta v'alita el hamakom asher yivchar Hashem elokach bo. You should get up, you should go to the place that Hashem has chosen, right? So we go to Yerushalayim. Uvata el ha-kohanim ha-levi'im, and you should come to the kohanim from Shevet Levi, v'al ha-shofet asher yiyah b'yamim ha-heim, and to the shofet who will be in those days, v'darashta, and you should ask, right? You should seek out that knowledge. V'higidu lecha et dvar ha-mishpat. And they will tell you the final judgment. They'll tell you what the final verdict is. They'll give you your psak. V'asita al pi hadavar asher yagidu lecha min hamakom ahu. And you will do according to what they tell you from that place, asher yivchar Hashem, that Hashem has chosen. V'shamarta, and you will be careful, la'asot kechol asher yorucha, to do according to everything they will teach you. Pasuk Yud Aleph is underlined for you. Al pi hatorah asher yorucha, according to the Torah, according to the teachings that they teach you, v'al ha-mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh, and according to the judgment that they will tell you, you will do. Lo tasur min ha-davar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. You will not turn from that which they tell you to the right or to the left. And then Yud Bet and Yud Gimel essentially says that anyone who deliberately defies that verdict has a death sentence, Right? The Torah is very makbid that we listen to our rabbis, that we listen to what the Sanhedrin teaches us. So first of all, we have to note that historically there is a hierarchy in terms of who we go to seek a psak halacha. We first go to our local poskim. If they don't know the answer, they ask those who have greater knowledge in the subject matter than they do. The Torah does caution us here that we have to go el hashofet asher yeh bayamim haheim. You have to go to the shofet. You have to go to the posek that will be bayamim haheim in those days, right? In your times. We have to, you know, talk to the people who live in our generation, right? And that might seem pretty obvious. We're going to get into the Gemara in a minute. The Torah is teaching us that we can't reject the words of our poskim in favor of a psak halacha that was given by someone in a previous generation. We have to look at the famous Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. You have it in Source 8. It begins with the speech that Shmuel Hanavi makes when he addresses the Jewish people and tells them that Hashem has granted their request for a king. The Gemara says as follows. Okay, again, Source 8. Omer, the Navi says, Vayomer Shmuel el Ha'am. Shmuel said to the nation, Hashem asher asat Moshe ve'et Aaron, Hashem who put Moshe and Aaron in positions of greatness. And then Shmuel, in the Pesukim, actually goes into a lot of the history of the Jews crying out to Hashem in times of need, and Hashem sending leaders to help them, right? Va'omer, and then Shmuel continues and he says, Ve'ishlach Hashem, Hashem sent to the Jews, et Yerubal, ve'et Badan, ve'et Yiftach, ve'et Shmuel. Hashem sent Gidon and Shimshon and Yiftach and Shmuel, right? So we have this list of six men who Hashem sent to lead the Jewish people. Then the Gemara continues, and for you it's in Part B, it actually goes to Daf Bet. The Gemara continues and tells us that we have this list of six people, but they're not all equal. And we know that they're not all equal because the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Tzadi Tet, reads, Va'omer, Moshe v'Aharon b'chohanav, u'shmuel b'korei shemo. Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel. So really, only Shmuel's leadership is comparable to the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. So why do we have these six? Why are we including Gidon and Shimshon and Yiftach with Moshe and Aaron and Shmuel? So the Gemara tells us. Did somebody say that?
Because maybe they were the best of their generation.
Exactly. It's exactly how the Gemara concludes. The Gemara tells us that Shakela Katuv Shlosha Kalei Olam, the Torah equates three of the lesser leaders of Jewish history, Kishlosha Chamurei Olam, with three of the greatest leaders of Jewish history. Lomar Lacha, to tell you, Yerubal Bidoro Kimoshe Bidoro. Gidon in his time was like Moshe in his time. Badan Bidoro Ka'aron Bidoro. Shimshon in his time is like Aaron in his time. Yiftach Bidoro Kishmuel Bidoro. Yiftach in his generation is like Shmuel in his generation. Lila Medcha, it teaches you. Sha'afilu Kalsha Bikalin. The Nitmane Parnes Alatzibur. Even if somebody is not such a great person, once he is appointed, once he is made the leader of the generation, Harehu Ka'avir Sheba'avirim, you have to regard him as being the greatest, like the greatest of the great. Ve'omer, and then the Gemara quotes our pasuk. Uvata el ha'kohanim ha'levi'im ve'al ha'shofet asher yiyah bayamim ahem. You have to come to the Kohanim from Shevet Levi and to the Shofet who will be in those days. Right? Would you think that you would go to a Dayan who's not in your days? Right? I can't go and ask a question right now of Rav Moshe Feinstein. It doesn't work. Right?
How did that designation happen?
We make that designation, and usually through different processes, right? It depends on which organization, it depends on which shul. It's a, you know, like in modern days, it's easier to choose. Ha ein lecha lelech ela etzel shofet shebiyamav, right? So the Torah is teaching us that you can only go to the shofet in your days. Ve'omer, you have the pasuk in Kohelet, which doesn't only mean this, but which the Gemara uses to mean this. Al tomar mahaya, you shouldn't say, oh, what was, shehayamim harishonim hayu tovim me'ela, that previous days were better than these days, right? Oh, how I wish we had. We have to trust our poskim implicitly because they live with us in our times, right? The Kli Yakar in Source 5 referred to the Minhag Dorenu. He talked about what was happening in his generation, right? He knew the people living in his times, just as our poskim know us, right? Chazal in the times of the Gemara established the halakha of Chalav Yisrael for everyone. Everyone had to keep Chalav Yisrael because of the very real possibility that you might get milk from a non-kosher animal when you go and buy milk from a kosher animal. There was a real possibility that it could be switched. But Rav Moshe Feinstein, who knew the ins and outs of the USDA, was able to say, yeah, you know what? That doesn't happen now. And so we can thank Rav Moshe Feinstein that we have Dunkin' Donuts three doors down and we can go and get our whatever we want, right? You have to go to the person in your days, and you can't say, well, you know, I know that 300 years ago, this was a psak that was given. You have to leave it to your posek. You can go to your posek and say, hey, I learned this halacha, you know, in this sefer. What do you think? Can I apply it to? But you have to trust your poskim. We also have to trust that although our poskim are not Moshe Rabbeinu, their knowledge of the Mesorah and their ability to interpret halacha based on the teachings of those who came before them is complete. And we have to remember that we demonstrate our trust in their smicha because we appoint them to their positions. And again, you know, depending on which organization and to what degree different people are involved in that choosing, but we choose the people who do the choosing. Right, so we choose them, and then we have to listen to them, and that's always the harder part. The Torah describes the extent to which we have to trust our poskim in Pasuk Yud Aleph in Source 7, which is, and that's the pasuk that was underlined on your sheet. Al pi haTorah asher yoruha v'ala mishpat asher yomru lecha ta'aseh, according to the teachings that they will teach you, and the judgments that they will tell you ta'aseh, you will do it. Lo tasur min hadavar asher yagidu lecha yamin u'smol. You will not deviate from that which they tell you to the right or to the left. In the very famous Rashi in Source 9 tells us that we have to listen. Afilu omer lecha al yamin shehu smol, v'al smol shehu yamin. Even if he tells you that your right is your left, and your left is your right, you have to listen. V'kol shekein, and especially she'omer lechal yamin yamin v'al smol smol, especially if he tells you your right is your right and your left is your left. So, I'm sorry, that always bothered me, right? How can that be, right? How can I listen to somebody who sometimes decides that right is left and left is right? The Ramban explains this very beautifully in Source 10. So he begins by quoting our Rashi, and then he says, V'inyano, afilu tachshov b'libecha shehem to'im. Even if you think to yourself that they're making a mistake, and not only do you think it to yourself, v'hadavar pashut be'enecha ka'asher ata yodea ben yamincha lismolcha. Not only do you think they're making a mistake, their mistake is as obvious to you as the difference between your right and your left. Still, ta'aseh k'mitzvotam. You have to do what they say. And again, it's not an easy thing. Ve'al tomar, you shouldn't say to yourself, wait a minute. Eich ochel hachalev agamor hazeh. How can I eat this type of fat? O aharog ha'ish hanaki hazeh. How can I kill this innocent person? Right? If it's a capital case and the person is sentenced to death and you say, I don't agree with it. You can't say, but I think he's innocent. You have to do what they say. Aval tomar, you have to say, kach tziva uti ha'adon ha-mitzavel ha-mitzvot. Hashem, who commanded all of the mitzvot, also commanded, she'aseh b'chol mitzvotav k'chol asher yoruni ha'omdim lefanav b'makom asher yivchar. Hashem also commanded me that I have to do everything that these people tell me to do. Ba'al mashma'ut da'atam natan li ha-Torah afilu yit'u. And it's according to their interpretation that Hashem gave me the Torah, even if they make a mistake. And that's where it is the hardest for us, practically, to accept a psak that we don't agree with. Especially now, where we are intelligent, learning people. It is very hard when you hear something and it doesn't sound right to say, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. In the bold part of the Ramban, which I'm just going to summarize for you, the Ramban really just says that there's a tremendous need for this mitzvah to absolutely follow our poskim. He says that Torah shebichtav is limited, and Hashem knows that there's going to be a need to interpret it in future generations because different things come up. The Torah gives general principles. It's a guidebook. It doesn't cover every specific case. So we are going to need people who will help us interpret it. And if we didn't have this mitzvah that we have to listen to our poskim, then there would be terrible, terrible machloket. There would be terrible dissension among the Jewish people. So the Torah makes it clear that when there is dissension, we have to determine the practical halacha based on the determination of the Sanhedrin Gedolah. Whether they have direct mesorah for it or whether they're interpreting based on their understanding of the words and the concepts that the Torah presents. In our times, we trust that our poskim are able to make correct interpretations of the Torah to guide us based on their mesorah. And it's not on your sheet, but yeah, I have a lot of students in here. I'm so excited. The Kli Akar in Sefer Shmot Perek Yud Tet, you all know this is like one of my favorite ones. I quote this all the time. The Kli Akar right before Matan Torah states that when there is Perud Levavot, when there is a separation of hearts, when the Jewish people have dissension, which leads to division, which leads to real division, then that's not Torah, right? You can have machloket about what the Torah means. You can have different opinions. You can have different practices. But when that leads to like actual division, when that leads to judgment and hatred and all of those things, that's not Torah. And that's why when the Rama wrote when the Rama put down his halachot based on Ashkenazi Jewish practices, he did it as a footnote to the Shulchan Aruch. He didn't write his own Sefer because he wanted to demonstrate that we are all learning one Torah. And so Sephardi might do something like this, and Ashkenazi might do something like this, but it's all coming from the same place. Right? The Kli Akar in Source 11 explains a great discussion in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. He says, Ki kvar amru razal. Chazal said, right, so the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is quoting the Gemara in Chagiga. Shema yomar adam. Perhaps a person will say, Ho'il v'halalu mitaharin v'halalu mitam'in. Right, we have these people who are saying, these poskim who say that something is tamei. And other people say that something is tahor. Halalu osrin v'halalu matirin. These people are saying that something is forbidden, and the other people say that something is permitted. So, Hayachani Lamed Torah, how can I learn Torah like that? If there are all these different opinions, how do I learn Torah? How do I know what's right? Me'ata Talmud Lomar. So, we can learn from the Pasuk in Kohelet, and the Kli Akar actually also quotes this Kli Akar and Sefer Shmot. The Kli Akar quotes this pasuk in Kohelet, "Nitz nu me roe achad," right? That you have different ideas, but they all come from one source, right? Very famous, "Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, kulan el achad natnan," right? Everything was given from Hashem. So you have different interpretations, but they all come from Hashem. So that's wonderful. But but in the end, "Hayachan ilamed Torah," how am I supposed to learn Torah like that? If everybody's right and everybody's interpreting correctly and this is right and this is good and, you know, this is asur and this is, how do I know? So he answers that in every case in which the Torah deals with things that are permitted and things which are not, things that are tameh and things that are tahor, he says there are always multiple factors involved. So when the Torah determines that something is tahor, it's because there are more factors that make it tahor than that make it tameh. He says, but the other factors still do exist. So if you look in, he says, b'chol davar tum'a v'tahara, yish kama panim l'taharo, v'chama panim l'tam'o. In every case of tuma and tahara, in every case of determining whether something is tameh or tahor, there are different reasons to make it tahor or different reasons to make it tameh. V'ima Torah tiharto. If the Torah says that something is tahor, then hu mipnei shehatzadim hamarim pnei tahara he merubim yoter min hapanim hamarim pnei tum'ah v'chein lahafach. If the Torah says something is tahor, it's because there are more reasons for the Torah to say that it's tahor. And the opposite is also true. But the other factors do exist. V'hu adin b'davar mutar v'asur. The same holds true if the Torah says something is permitted or something is forbidden. U'mita'am zeh amru razal. And this is why Chazal say, she'ein mimanin l'sanhedrin ad sheyodea l'taher hasharetz min haTorah. You're not allowed to appoint someone to Sanhedrin unless he is able to say that a sheretz, and the very technical definition of a sheretz is a creepy crawly thing, right? Which is always tameh. In order to be appointed to the Sanhedrin, you have to be able to prove from the Torah where a sheretz could be tahor. V'ta'amo shel davar. The reason for that is she'im lif amim tzrichin lahora'at sha'ah. Lifsok neged haTorah mishum eit la'asot la'Hashem heferu torotecha. The reason is that sometimes exceptions have to be made. Our poskim have to know all sides of every issue because there are always exceptional cases. There are times when regular, strict halacha has to be bent. They have to know how to determine when that is, and they have to know how to do it. So if a posek doesn't know how to make exceptions, if he only knows the black and the white, then he's not able to do his job. And the Kli Yakar concludes that that's why we have to follow the directions of the rabbis, even if it sounds to us like they're telling us that left is right and right is left, because they are interpreting the halacha according to the case at hand in the time that it's happening. But, and this is where it's good for us to be intelligent learners, and this is where I am so lucky that Rabbi Matanky is a very, very patient person. Our rabbis don't have the right to tell us that something is halacha without explaining it to us if we ask them to. So the Or HaChaim in source 12 tells us that it specifies v'darashta v'higidu l'chad pasuk tet, which means you will ask and they will tell you. Or HaChaim says, because alecha ata lidrosh sheyomru lecha ta'am hadin. It is up to you to ask them to tell you the reason for what they're saying. V'heim gam kein chayavim l'hagid lecha ta'am divrehem. And they are also obligated to tell you the reason for what they're saying. So if you ask and they say, you know, really, you wouldn't understand, find yourself another posek. Aval im lo darash, but if you don't ask, ein chiyuv aleihem hagid lo, they don't have to tell you anything. So you should always ask if something doesn't make sense to you or if you want to learn it, right? And ask. Once they do that, though, right, once they explain it to you and once you know the ins and outs, we continue in source 13. Pasuk Yud tells us, v'yasita al pi hadavar. You should do al pi hadavar, not just hadavar. You shouldn't just do that thing. You should do al pi hadavar. You should do according to that thing. The Or HaChaim tells us, peirush, this means, lo mi bae hamishpat atzmo sheyigidu lecha. It's not only like the strict, necessary judgment itself that they tell you. Ela afilu mishpatim acherim hanivnim al pi shmua zo. But you also have to do all of the other laws that stem from that which they tell you. Ki kama mishpatim yistafu miprat mishpat achad. Because you have really a lot of mitzvot which can be based on one principle. Right. And, you know, not to get too personal, my students have heard me talk about different times where I've asked for a psak halacha, and I've gotten it. And I've asked about it, and I've asked for the reasons for it, and then I get them. And then I'm stuck, because I trust Rabbi Matanky, and I trust that he is a Talmid of Rav Schwartz, right? And I trust that Mesora. And so I don't like it, but I do have to listen to it. I like it most of the time. I'll tell you that that's our benefit in terms of choosing our post-scheme for ourselves now, right? The idea of Aseh Lecha Rav from Mishnah Avot, right? You have to choose the Rav who fits who you are. It has to be somebody who whose principles can guide you and who you can live with, right? Because in the end, the Torah is the Chai Bahem, right? In the end, we and our post-scheme are all striving together to serve Hashem as best as we can by learning Torah, like you all have come to do, which is, again, it's so impressive. And we're supposed to take ownership of it because that's what Hashem wants us to do, right? The Torah is not stagnant. The Torah is meant to evolve over time because the world changes. We see in the Psukim from Parshat Nitzavim in Source 14, HaMitzvah HaZot, this Torah, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha Hayom, which I am commanding to you today, Lo Nifleti Mimcha, V'lo Rechokahi. It's not too hard for you. It's not far off. Lo Bashamayim Hi Leimor. It's not in Shamayim. It's not just for Hashem to, you know, kind of determine top down. It's not in Shamayim that Lamor, that you will have to say, Mia alelanu hashamayim avi kachahalanu, that you would say, who's going to go up to Shamayim and get it for us? V'yashmienu otovena asena, and make us hear it so that we can do it, right? We had that happen one time. We had one Moshe who went up and got the Torah from God and brought it down to us. And he taught it to us. And then after that, it's for us. It's ours. We're supposed to learn it. We're supposed to love it. We're supposed to live by it. I want to conclude with the bracha that we say three times every day. And we say it pretty deliberately. We say, Al tzadikim v'al chasidim, v'al zikneim chabet Yisrael, v'al pleitat sofreim, v'al gerei tzadik v'alenu. Yehamu rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu. We ask Hashem to have mercy upon those who are tzadikim, upon those who are righteous, upon those who are chasidim, right? Those who are carefully observant of the Torah. The Zakenim of Bnei Yisrael, those sages that we have, the Gerim and us. We say, Hashem, have compassion on us. Why? We say, V'sim chalkenu, I'm sorry, I skipped. V'tein sachar tov l'chol habotchim b'shimcha ba'emet. Hashem, give us reward because we truly trust you. We trust you. We trust you that you know that we're doing the right thing. Make our lot, make our portion among the tzaddikim because we trust you, right? We trust you to know that we're doing what we're supposed to do. And then we say, Baruch atah Hashem, mishan umivtach latzaddikim, right? Blessed are you, Hashem. You are the support and the security of tzaddikim, of those who are righteous. So we ask all the time for Mashiach tzidkenu, b'mehera b'yameinu. And for this, we say that tishbi yitaretz kushiyotu ba'ayot. Right? In the end, there are so many differing opinions on how to follow halacha. When Mashiach comes, we have the advantage of tishbi, of Eliyahu, who will answer any questions that we have left. So thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.